Good morning, good morning. Certainly appreciate everybody for being here. Even though it was publicized on Facebook that I'd be the preacher this morning. Appreciate you being brave enough to show up anyway. Certainly join with Brother Tim in welcoming everybody and especially any guests that we may have. Again, like he said, if we say something that you have a question about, then bring it to our attention. If we find it conflicts with God's word, we'll make correction, but we'll have to consult God's word on that. Also join with him and, you know, all this, asking for prayers about all the COVID. As you've surely seen, the numbers are going up again with this new variant. So we need to be extra careful. But the good news is it kind of started in Europe and it's already starting to go down there a good bit. So hopefully that's going to follow the same pattern here and we'll soon be getting closer to back where we were here about a month or so and even better, hopefully. Also join with him in certainly requesting your prayers for the elders, for their health and their strength and their wisdom and their guidance. And kind of smiled at one of the things that Tim said when he said, I might be preaching on something that you've already heard. And if you've been around in the church for a good while, if I start preaching something that you've never heard before, then you might, that's when you raise your eyebrow. But now, if you're new to the church, it might be something that you never heard before. But yeah, when you start hearing new stuff, that's when you got, wait, let me check this out now, okay? All right. So this morning, my sermon is probably going to be on something you've heard before. Two topics, love and judging. So we're going to talk about what the Bible has to say about both of these issues. A lot of times what I do, I'll think of a topic. Obviously, what we always try to do, those of us who are coming up here and bringing sermons, is try to think of something that is going to be beneficial for the congregation, something that is topical, something that helps us in our lives, something that encouraging and inspiring, but also to correct problems, you know, when we see issues going around, whether it's in the congregation or in society in general. So pray for all of us that are coming up here and bringing these sermons that we'll make good decisions and develop good lessons that are beneficial to the congregation as a whole. But love and judging is the title of the sermon this morning. So this, as you may be accustomed to on my sermons, we've got our summary slide here, our preview. So our topics we're going over, we're going to ask the question, what is love? And what is judging? How will we be judged? Who should judge? We're going to talk about judging incorrectly and the consequences of that. And asking who is going to judge us and what we will be judged on. So first question, first topic, what is love? And we know that if you pay attention to television shows and media and social media and all that kind of thing, what society views as love today is the unconditional acceptance and support, okay? So they say if you love somebody, you're going to accept them exactly as they are, whatever they feel, whatever they want, however they behave, you're going to just support that and tell them how great they are and encourage them in continuing in that, right? That's what we see in society, isn't it? Don't reject anybody. Just love them and accept them and embrace them. That is not at all the truth about what love is, okay? Love is caring deeply about somebody and wanting good things for them, all right? What we want, what is best for them if we love them. And what is best for them very often conflicts with what they want, okay, or even how they behave or the actions that they're doing. So what does the Bible say? Well, one of the things the Bible says, we know 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is known as the chapter of love. and it talks a lot about love. It uses the word charity for love. But one of the things that it brings out is love rejoices in the truth, not in iniquity or sin. Okay? So love is not the acceptance of harmful things such as sin. So brings us to our next topic. What is judging? Oh, the definition of judging, this is just like Webster's definition here, is to try, as in to put something on a trial, all right? To distinguish between right and wrong, or determine, make a determination on something. And it also carries out, in some contexts, to judge is to sentence or to punish, all right? Now, that's not our job, right? That's going to be, we're going to talk about that. But how will we be judged? How are Christians going to be judged? We need to know that, right? By his word. John chapter 12, verse 48 teaches us, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So we need to know what we need to learn in order to make good judgments, right? And so we will have a good judgment at the end. And that is the Word. We need to learn the Word, the New Testament of Jesus Christ. This is Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. We're going to kind of be referring back and forth to this throughout the sermon, so I couldn't really figure out exactly where to put it. I'm going to just put it here, and we'll talk about it throughout the sermon. So we're going to read what Matthew 7, 1 through 5 says. This is one of the most misinterpreted and misapplied scripture in the whole Bible, because most of the time you're only going to hear these first two words. All right. Judge not. The very beginning of Matthew chapter 7. Judge not. And people stop right there. Judge not. Don't judge anybody. All right, that's what they take from it. Society takes that. Denominations, even, a lot of times denominations will just stop right there. Judge not. All right, don't judge, and then we don't have to worry about it. That goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago. Just accept everybody as they are. Judge not. Don't judge. No. But let's continue and read it in context. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So, if we just stopped at the beginning and didn't read the rest, then we might say, okay, well, it's not up to me to judge. I shouldn't judge. God's going to judge in the end. It's not my responsibility. It's wrong for me to try to tell somebody what's right or what's wrong. That is not at all what the context of this is saying, okay? What it's saying is, if we come up with our own judgment, okay, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and what measure ye meet, it shall be measured against you. If we come up with something separate from God's word that what we think is right and wrong, and start using that to judge other people, then that's not good. We're not supposed to use our own desires or feelings or opinions in order to judge somebody. And it continues saying, if we have sin in our own life, if we are living in sin, if we are not a repentant, faithful, righteous person that living as a Christian should live, and then we go out and try to point out the error in other people's lives, then we are being what? A hypocrite. We're not supposed to judge hypocritically. We're supposed to
Be faithful to God. Make sure that we're being the right example to others. And then when we see error in someone else's life, what does it say? Does it say, leave that mode alone. Don't ever tell somebody they've got a problem. All right? No, it says, make sure you don't have a beam in your own eye. Then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. It doesn't say leave the mote in there. It says make yourself right. Make sure you're faithful. Make sure you're doing what's right. Then you help them with their problems. You make a judgment. Not your own judgment, but God's judgment. All right. I probably said a lot too much about this because we're gonna, that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about the rest of the sermon there. So, all right. So, who should judge? That is the question. Every Christian is commanded to judge. We have to judge. We have to judge between right and wrong in our everyday lives and what we're supposed to be doing. All right? Whether we're supposed to do certain activities in our lives. Is this consistent with God's word or is it not? We're supposed to make judgments on right and wrong and in order to help other people. All right. John chapter 7 verse 24 specifically, explicitly commands us, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. All right. Don't judge incorrectly. Judge by what God says. Use God's word in order to make judgments. Righteous judgment. What is righteous judgment? Who is righteous? Who determines what is righteous? God. How do we know that? Because the Bible teaches us his word. 2 Timothy verses 3, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, correction, reproof, okay? What are you correcting? If you don't make a judgment, can you correct? If you don't make a judgment whether or not something is right or wrong? No, that's talking about making judgments. Using God's word to say, okay, this is wrong. We've got to do better here. We've got to make a correction. Make it right according to what is righteous. All right. Now, what's warned about in the Bible is judging incorrectly. Just like we went through in Matthew chapter 7 there. Judge not with our own opinions and our own views, something outside of the Bible. People even try to judge God and his law. They'll say, I don't agree with that. One, they may not believe in God at all. Or they'll say, if there is a God, he's not a good God because all these bad things happen in life. So I'm judging God because he allowed these bad things to happen. Or I disagree with what he says in his law. I don't like this rule. So I'm gonna judge that incorrectly. I'm not gonna follow that. That is judging incorrectly, okay? We are mere mortals. We are human. We are the creation. He is the creator. He has the authority to make the rules for his creation. He knows what is best for us. We do not have the wisdom or the intelligence to determine that something he says is wrong. Anytime we think something he says is wrong, I can tell you we are the ones that are in the wrong because he knows everything. He knows what is best. We don't have the authority to contradict anything that he says. As we also just pointed out in Matthew 7, judging hypocritically is judging incorrectly. When we're doing something wrong and then we try to point out what somebody else is doing is wrong, that is being a hypocrite. We have got to make sure that we are godly and we are being faithful before we try to point out the error in someone else's life and try to bring them to Christ. Okay? Then the one thing that is most definitively pointed out in Scripture about judging hypocritically is judging based on appearance, okay? When they talk about, I think I've got that coming up in another slide, but when it talks about someone coming in and they may have poor clothing on and you say, oh, here you sit in the back, and then somebody else comes in and you bring them, and they're wearing nice clothes, they've got a nice pretty suit on or fancy, you're like, oh, you come on up here and sit in the front. Oh, and you judge based on the appearance, all right? That is wrong, based on whether or not you think that they have money or something like that. That would be very wrong. But also, judging just based on first glance without doing further research into what's going on, when you make assumptions on something and you try to make a judgment without, you know, trying to find out the whole story, that's not good, all right? Don't make rash judgments. Make sure you know what is happening fully before you try to jump in and tell somebody that they're bad or wrong or something like that. All right. And then that goes hand in hand with 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 4, where it talks about evil surmising, when you making assumptions. Maybe you'll see something and you're like, I bet the reason they're doing that is because old so-and-so said something. And you just start making up things in your mind and making assumptions on things, all right? We're not to be that kind of people. That's bad judgment. That is incorrect judgment. All right, so we are going to read this James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and talk a little more about that. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Okay? So he's condemning this type of behavior, judging people based on their wealth or their appearance. All right? And we have to make sure as Christians that we judge in the right way. We judge righteously, not by appearance. All right? So we have to guard ourselves. Sometimes people, even in the church, try to go beyond what the Bible says in making judgments. And they'll say, well, no, on Sundays you need to be wearing a suit and tie, and you don't need to be wearing jeans, or you don't need to be having a t-shirt and all this kind of stuff. Well, we are supposed to be modest and respectful, aren't we? Yes. But we see pretty much that type of attitude condemned right here. We don't need to be wearing things that are immodest or irreverent or like have words on them that are inappropriate or images on them that are inappropriate and that would be sinful. But otherwise, as long as we are dressing respectfully and modestly, we don't need to be trying to judge based on what somebody is wearing, because we have to be very careful in not going beyond what the Bible teaches on judgment. Stick strictly to what the Bible says and don't go beyond it when we try to make a determination or a judgment. All right. That brings us to who will judge us. I think we all know the answer to that. And the one that is going to judge us is thankfully the one who loves us most. All right? God loves us. He loved us so much that he even gave his son. All right? He loved the world. He gave us only begotten son so that we could have a way out of sin. All right? Jesus is our way out of sin. Following his word, contacting his blood in baptism, and being true, being a faithful Christian. So God is our judge. In Hebrews 12 and 23 tells us he is the judge of all. And like I said, thankfully, he loves us this lesson is on love and judgment. He loved us so much, he gave us what he loved the most, which was his son, all right, to live and die for us and give us that way out of sin, to have, be forgiven from our sin. Now, we've already talked about how will we be judged, but what will we be judged on? The Bible is what we're going to be is going to be used to judge us, but what will we be judged on? Revelations 20 and 12 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Okay? What does that mean? The way we live our lives is what is God is going to use in order to judge us. He's going to compare what we have done in our lives to what his Bible tells us to do. All right? What his word has taught us. So, thankfully, like we said a minute ago, we have a way to be forgiven of any of our past sins as long as we come out of those sins. We may have been like Paul, one of the worst sinners in the world. Paul went out killing Christians and throwing them in jail. He said he was the chief of sinners. But what did he do? He changed. Once he learned the truth, he changed. So we may, if we look at our lives as a whole, we may have done some horrible, horrible things in our past. All of us have done at least some bad things, okay? But no matter how much bad we have in our lives, we can get forgiveness. And God is going to erase all of that. We won't be judged on anything that we repented of and we've corrected, we've changed, as long as from that point we live faithfully, okay? Coming out of our sins. So, in the meantime, before we get to judgment day, before we get to the end of our lives and judgment day, we are to use his word to judge ourselves so that we will be ready. Again, every day of our lives, making good judgments in order to stay on the right path. So, we've talked about, this is my end summary slide here. Talked about what is love. It's not blind acceptance of anything that anybody wants to do. It's trying to help them so that they have good results, that they have good things happen to them, and for the mostly that their soul is saved. What is judging? We talked about that, making a determination by what is right and wrong, okay? How will we be judged? The Bible is going to judge us. God is going to be the one who does judge us. We don't need to judge incorrectly based on our own feelings or our opinions. We need to hold fast and true to the Word of God and not go beyond it, because if we judge hypocritically, that is sinful, all right? And there are consequences to that. Who will judge us? The same God who gave us his Son and loves us and gave us a way out of sin. And what we'll be judged on is our actions. Everything that we do in our lives, whether it's right or wrong, after the point where we have obeyed the gospel, we need to make sure that we hold true to his saving word. All right. And finally, we need to make sure that we love people enough to save their soul. All right? That is what it means to love somebody. We're going to love them enough that we care about their eternal soul, and we want them to be saved in the end, come out of sin. When we see someone who is in sin, we need to be loving enough to do what is necessary to help them out of their sinfulness. Do not accept the sinful lies of the devil and society's belief that judgment is wrong and that we should accept everyone for who they are and what they want. That is the devil talking, okay? That is evil. That is wrong. That is completely against God's word. We have got to teach God's saving gospel truth and bring them out of their sin. We need to be willing and brave enough to tell them the truth, even if it conflicts with what society says, even if it hurts their feelings. We have to risk them being angry at us to tell them the truth. All right? Sometimes when we tell people the truth, they're going to be mad. They're going to hate us. They're going to lash out. But, you know, should we tell it to them because we want them to be mad? No. We tell it to them because we love them. We should do it in loving, caring ways. Let them know how much we care. But we have to risk them being angry at us. If we love them, it's worth that, okay? Because hopefully, even if they start out being angry at us, eventually maybe they'll think about that. Maybe they'll think about what we said, because what we said was in accordance with God's word. And maybe they'll sink in, think about it, and they'll eventually change and make correction in their lives. And we need to make sure that we're being faithful as well, not be hypocritical. All right, and that brings us to the final slide, which is the plan of salvation. Like we said, God loved us enough that he gave us his only begotten Son in order to, so that we could have the chance of salvation after we've sinned, come out of that sin. In order to be saved, we've got to hear his word. We've got to learn it. We learned part of it today, if we didn't already know it. We've got to believe it, okay? Not just hear it and understand what it says. We've got to actually accept that word and apply it to our lives. Applying it to our lives means we realize that we've made a judgment using his word, that there's a difference between sin and righteousness. We've got to come out of sin. We realize that we have been in sin, that we had sin in our lives. We make the decision to come out of that and live by that word, to be faithful. We've got to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And we've got to be immersed in water for the purpose of the remission of our sins, so that Jesus' blood can wash those sins away and we can rise up out of that water a new creature, a Christian, spotless, free from sin. And then we've got to remain faithful, live faithfully. John, 1 John 1:7 tells us that if we walk in the light, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. All right, but that is conditional. If we walk in the light. So each day of our lives, using that judgment in order to determine right and wrong and making sure that we stay on the right side. If you have any need to come forward and be converted to Christ through baptism, if you've done those things, hear, believe, repent, and repent and confess, then you have opportunity. If you have strayed away from sin, from righteousness, and have error in your life and need to make correction and a public confession for a public sin, or if you just need the prayers of the church for strength or help, and we'll ask that you come forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with you.